So if you want to open your Bibles to Esther chapter 2, last week we began to talk about the preparation to be a queen and the reality that God has a destiny for each one of us, that there's something that He's created us for and there's some purpose for us to fulfill in this life. And in a way that God calls us to reign with Him, we are all to be kings and queens. We are sons and daughters of the king, as well as he's elevating us. And so we want to talk about how Esther became the queen. And last time we began to talk about that God prepared Esther through a beauty treatments, that she went through 1 year of beauty treatments. And so last week's message was how to get a beauty treatment from the Lord, how to get a beautiful heart, how to have a soft heart, and how to have the perfume of Christ in our life so that we are ready to enter into the King's presence. And today we're going to see the next part of what it takes for us to become a queen. And so let's go ahead and pray. Ask for God to bless His word. Lord, I just thank You so much that You've written this story down for us. Lord, that it's not just something that happened a long time ago and it's an interesting story. No, this has to do with what You're doing in our lives today. It has to do with a truth You want to impart to us. And so I just pray You'd open it up for us today by Your Holy Spirit, that each of us would be convicted by Your word, that each of us would be changed by Your word, that we would make spiritual decisions today under the prompting of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, release it today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start reading again in verse 12 through verse 18 to begin. Verse 12 was a review. Before a girl's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the woman, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. Now, just a review to remember that a decree, or the king sent out messengers to look for the most beautiful women in the kingdom because the former queen was deposed and he was looking for a new queen. And so he gathered together 400 of the most eligible, beautiful women that were there in the kingdom. And Esther was one of those 400. And now these 400 are going through this preparation. And then verse 13. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there. And in the morning, returned to another part of the harem to the care of Shagraz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the term came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Hegai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, in the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. Okay, so the second part of the preparation for Esther to be a queen was to receive the favor of God. The favor of God. You notice in verse 15 that it talks about that when she was in preparation for going, that she won the favor of those that were around her, including this guy who was in charge of the preparation of all these women. It says that she received favor. Everyone liked her. Everyone was pleased with her. And then when she finally goes into the king, in verse 17, it says, the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. This issue of favor is a very important issue in the Bible, because throughout the scripture, it tells us that certain people receive the favor of God and other people do not receive the favor of God. And what is it that disposes God's favor toward us. How do we receive the favor of God? How did Esther receive the favor of God that he should put her into the position of a queen? Because she did not get there by her human effort. She did not get there by scheming and planning and self-promotion. She did not get there any other way than she found favor in the king's eyes, and she found favor in the eyes of the people around her. And that favor came from God. Whenever we receive favor, it's from the Lord. So how is it? First of all, what is favor? Favor is actually the Old Testament word for grace. This is the same word that's translated grace. Now, you're going to have to follow, because grace has several meanings. And in the case where favor is being used in the Old Testament, it has to do with the disposition to bless, the disposition to set your approval on someone, and it has to do with a releasing of other people to bless what God is blessing. That is to dispose people to treat you kindly, for people to find you pleasing to them. And so the favor of God comes on us, first of all, that we might be brought to his presence, and the favor of God comes on us in order that others might treat us kindly as well. And so we ought to seek the favor of God. It's not something that's a passive thing, and we have to talk about how to receive this favor. Now, this is a key issue in the whole book of Esther. Not only is the favor of God and the favor that brings her into the king, that she becomes the queen, but throughout the book of Esther, this issue of favor is vital. We see in Esther 7:3, when Esther finally goes into the king on behalf of her people to make a request, and she goes in unannounced, and we'll see this later, that you are not allowed to go into the king's presence without his invitation. That if you went in without invitation, you could be killed. And so when Esther goes in, she says, "Then Queen Esther answered, 'If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request.'" So when Queen Esther goes in, she's seeking the favor of the king. And so we too should want the favor of God. Now, interestingly, just on Friday night, I had a Bible study with a group, my Bible study group, and we saw the first place where favor is mentioned in the Bible. And it's in the story of Cain and Abel. When Cain and Abel come before the Lord to worship him, it says that God looked with favor on Abel and his offerings. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so there's a very clear illustration. Two people going before God, but one gets his favor and the other does not get his favor. And then throughout the scriptures, we see this issue of favor. Moses sought the favor of God. He says in Exodus 32:11, "But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. 'Oh Lord,' he said, 'why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand?'" David sought the favor of God. 2 Samuel, "Then the king said to Zadok, 'Take the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he will bring me back and let me see it in his dwelling place again.'" Other kings sought the favor of God. 2 Chronicles 33:12, "In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." Nehemiah sought the favor of God. "I also made provision for the contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, O my God." Daniel understood the consequences of not having God's favor, and he asked for it in Daniel 9:13. "Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth." When Jesus came, he came to announce the favor of God. Isaiah 61:2 is speaking about the Messiah, that he is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. And Jesus, when he was growing, he experienced the favor of God in his life. We're told when Jesus was growing in Luke 2:52, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men." So how do we get the favor of God? How did Esther get the favor of God in her life? How do you get that approval? And how do you get that opening of doors so that others are going to bless you as well? The key, I think, we find in James 4:6. which says, but he gives us more grace. And that is why the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He favors the humble. And the reason Esther gets the favor of God is because she was a humble woman. She was able to receive. Now, the issue is not that God does not have grace for all of us. He has grace for everyone. God has favor for everyone. It's not that the favor of God is not that he picks one and that he doesn't want to bless you. The issue is the ability to receive the favor of God. The issue is how do we receive that empowerment and that blessing from God? And humility opens the door. He gives grace to the humble. Now, how does Esther show her humility in this regard? What happens is when Esther's turn goes in to the king. Now, all these other women have been going in, and they've been trying to impress the king. They ask for all sorts of things, maybe all sorts of extra jewelry they put on. You know, they say, wow, let me really put on a show for the king. I'm going to make him like me. So they get all decked out. Maybe they brought all these special gifts for the king, because it said the woman could ask for whatever they wanted to and go into the king. But when Esther's turn came, she didn't ask for stuff. She took the suggestion of the guy who knew the king well and said, you know, if you want to bring this. But I get the impression she didn't bring very much. She just came herself. She entrusted herself that if she was going to be the queen, it wasn't going to be because she tried to put on a show. She didn't try and impress the king. And so her humility came out in that way that she showed her trust to God. If she was going to be the queen, it was going to be because God acted on her behalf. Now, listen, we live in a society of self-promotion. We live in a way that we are taught the only way to get ahead in life is if you make it. There is a spirit in America. There's a, you know, I work, as you know, with a lot of international students who are very driven, very determined to get ahead. And there's a positive quality about that desire to succeed and the ability to work hard. Oh, it's good. But I'll tell you, there is a strong temptation that we want to get ahead by our own effort, our own strength, and not have the favor of God, that we think it depends all on us. And I'll tell you that when we have a destiny from God, we will not obtain it by human effort. We cannot fulfill the plans and purposes of God by working harder. Now, Esther still went through the beauty treatments. She didn't say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying, don't hear me, that I'm saying, well, God is just going to do it for you and you don't do any of the preparation work. No, that's not it. But listen, there is something that only God can do. He's the only one that can bring us into these positions of favor. What was her odds? Well, in some sense, you could say it was 1 of 400. But actually, the king could have gone through all 400 and got another 400. I mean, because later on he calls for another group to come, okay? So the king wasn't limited. So she wasn't, if she was going by odds, she wasn't going to make it. If she was going by a campaign, you know, if she started the campaign, vote for Esther for queen. Or maybe she did a smear campaign against the other ones, you know. So-and-so was overseeing the biggest bailout of perfume in history. You know, don't vote for her. I don't know. She didn't go around speaking negatively about all the other women. She didn't go about trying to get her way in, to weasel into the king. She waited patiently, and when she gave her opportunity, she went in humbly, trusting God to bring about what he wanted to in her life. The favor of God comes on our life with humility. God gives favor to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So that is the thing we have to work into our life. And it is so hard in a society that encourages us to be proud. It's so hard in our human nature that desires for us to rely only on ourselves and not to be dependent on God's favor. That was the problem with Cain, wasn't it? Why did Cain not get the approval of God? Because he didn't go in with humility. He went in with his own sacrifice, saying, the work of my own hands, the vegetables that I grew, they should be good enough to get me the approval of God. But God said, no. I want a sacrifice that shows that you recognize that your sin is awful and needs a substitute. And God said to him, listen, Cain, I want to accept you. Won't I accept you if you do what's right too? If you come and bring the right sacrifice? I want to accept you. But you can't come on your own terms. And so many times we want to approach God on our own terms. And we want to do God's will on our own terms. You see, what happens is when Esther recognizes this, there's no way Esther could take pride in being the queen. When she got to be queen, she couldn't say, yep, I knew it. Well, I'm the sweetest, the fairest, the beautiest, the kindest woman. I made it. No, no. Esther had this amazing awareness. I'm here as a queen only because of the favor of God. And whatever opening God gives us, whatever blessing comes to our life, it is because of the favor of God. You know, not all of us are going to be in a high role like Esther. But God has a place for each of us that he wants to bring us into in order to be his witness and to be extending his blessing. And in order to get there, we've got to go through the soft heart, we got to get the perfume of Jesus, and we got to be humble. We got to be humble, and the favor of God will come to place us into that position where he wants us. You know, yesterday, someone was asking me about some of my life story, and as I was sharing it, and I was thinking about this message, I started thinking about the favor of God in my own life, how God has been so much favor has been shown. I'll give you just a couple illustrations from my own life. You know, I knew that God has put deeply in my heart this sense of needing to work cross-culturally, that God wants me to work with people from other cultures. And I did that for 7 years in Buffalo, New York, and then my wife was having to fulfill a government obligation. And that obligation was to serve in a physician shortage area because she had received a scholarship for 2 years from the government, and the repayment was to work for 2 years in a shortage area. But the government designated what the areas were that you could apply for. If there was 200 people, then they would designate 200 areas where the physicians would apply to go. So I said, well, when the list came out, I said, God has called me to work with international students. There must be on this list someplace where we can go to work with internationals. And out of that whole list, there was only one place. I mean, there was, you know, there were deserts, there was like reservations, there was rural parts of America, I mean, there was small towns, but there was one place on that list. It was a small town that happened to be a college town. It was Athens, Ohio. And so I was so excited. But Janet said to me, Rich, I've got to apply and be accepted. And I said, yes, I know, but I have faith. And then we found out that there was 10 people that applied for that position. I'm glad there wasn't 400, but there was 10. And of those 10 people, certainly, there were several of them who were better candidates than Janet. I said, why? They were better because the goal of the program was to attract physicians to stay in that area. And so there were some people who received scholarships for 4 years, which meant they had to serve for 4 years in the location where they went. She only had 2 years. So if you're the guy making the decision and you want to get a doctor to come to your area, who do you pick? You pick the guy with the 4 years who has to serve, not the person with the 2 years. So she was at a disadvantage. But she wasn't at a disadvantage because we knew God and God's favor was with us. And so he gave favor to her in the eyes. We still don't know. Why did she get picked? What was it? How did the Lord dispose his heart toward her? Maybe it was her humility because she is a humble doctor. But whatever, God opened that door. And that was the favor of God. You know, the way I got to be a pastor was just the favor of God. I didn't seek it out. And some of you know the story of a man coming to my office and just saying, listen, I've been praying that I'm leaving my church, and I've been praying for someone to come and serve this church, and God is giving me your name. It wasn't because I was a good speaker. It wasn't because I had a lot of experience. It wasn't because I was seeking something. It was just the favor of God that opened that door for me the first time. And I think in our lives, God wants to show us favor in many ways. He wants to make people disposed toward us, to put us in positions so that eventually we can be a blessing and we can fulfill a destiny that God has for us. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds the favor of God. Yes. That was the favor of God for me here. Wow. That is so beautiful. My first job, there was many, many people more qualified than me to get my job. I don't know how I got that job, but God opened the door for me. And there are seasons of favor in our ministries where God just opens things up to us. The favor of God. God wants to show his favor to us, but we have to humble ourselves before him, and we've got to stop trying to make things happen ourselves. We work hard, we dedicate ourselves, but listen, we become humble. We don't think about success as being related to our own human effort. That keeps us in bondage because it makes us proud. Okay, so Esther gets to be queen because of the favor of God. So God prepares her, and in humility, she receives his favor because he has a special purpose for her. Now in verse 18, we're told that a banquet is given by the king. He's so happy with Esther being his queen that he does a banquet. One of the themes in the book of Esther is banquets. If you like banquets, there's 10 banquets in the book of Esther. And every opportunity there's a banquet. But there's a release during her banquet. Not only is she being celebrated, but the king provides a release of generosity for the whole kingdom. And this means that when the favor of God comes on our life, it's intended that a blessing would be released to others through whatever place God puts us into, wherever our role is, that God would release a blessing through us. So that is what God intends. God's destiny for us is fulfilled when we experience his favor and when it's extended through us to others. That's what God is wanting to do through bringing Esther to being a queen. That's a beautiful thing. That because of her being the queen, everyone else got blessed. And that's what God is looking for, people he can put into positions where blessings can be released. God is looking for Esthers, who once he puts them into their positions, they become that means of God's glory being known and God releasing blessings. God is looking for such people. Now there's one more section of Esther 2 I just want to read to you, the last part, verses 19 to 23. Because this is the first thing we start to see happening after Esther becomes queen. And we're going to see that the blessing of Esther being a queen eventually flows back to the king himself. Not only did he have a beautiful wife and a submissive wife and someone who was a humble wife, but he has a wife who blesses him in a special way. And we read this here, verse 19. When the virgins were assembled the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instruction as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthantha and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were hanged on gallows. All this was recorded in the book of the annals in the presence of the king. What we see here is Mordecai is reintroduced again, who brought up Esther. He still continues to be concerned about Esther. He's always listening for news. He's there at the gate when he gets this information that there's two people are conspiring to assassinate the king. And he, because of his relationship with Esther is able to pass that information to her, and she in turn warns the king about this plot, which, when investigated, is found to be true, and the people are stopped. So because Esther is there next to the king, she is able to save the king's life. She is the means for blessing the king. And so we see here the blessing of Esther, the favor of God on her life, is there in bringing blessing to everyone around her, including the king. Now this aspect of Mordecai also, what we see is the providence of God again, that this information comes to Mordecai in order to prepare the way for later on for God's further working in Mordecai's life. You know, Esther's humility is shown again, right? When she brings the report to the king, she's not saying, hey, I'm trying to show how good I am here. She says, listen, Mordecai, he's the one who gave me this information. Honor Mordecai. Again, we see the character of Esther coming out. Now, I just believe this simple message, you know, of Esther becoming queen, the favor of God, the blessing of God, this is something that God just wants us to embrace. He wants us to seek his favor today. He wants to bless us, but we need to be in a position to receive that favor from God. Some of you, you want God's blessing. You want God's promotion. You want to fulfill God's destiny. You want to have a sense of purpose in your life. It's going to come as you seek the favor of God and you put yourself in the position to receive that. So let me go ahead and pray with you for that. But I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to be like Esther. Lord, you'd convict us of our need to be like Esther. Lord, I know you want to release in us that sense of destiny, Lord, that you have something prepared for us like you did for Esther, but that we cannot obtain it without your favor. Lord, I know you want to release favor to the nations through this church. Lord, that you're calling out men and women from this church to go to nations to spread your blessing. Just while we're in an attitude of prayer, I just believe that there are some of you here today that are striving. You're so striving to be noticed. You are so striving to get ahead. You are so driven, so promoting, that you have forgotten about the favor of God. And God is calling you today to recognize that you need to humble yourself and resubmit yourself to God to be able to acknowledge that it will not be by your might or your strength that you succeed in life, but you will humble yourself to acknowledge whatever I receive will come from the Lord. Others of you are wondering how God is working to fulfill his plans in your life. Some of you are still waiting among the 400. Some of you are waiting to be brought into the court. You're wondering when it is your turn to be called. And God is calling you to be patient, to say he will bring you in at the right time. And he will elevate you for his plans. That the promise is that those who are humbled will be exalted. Those who are brought low will be lifted up. And so let God work in this time in your life. He will call you to reign with him in Christ. Some of you are in the place of influence, but you're not yet releasing the blessing of God to those around you. And God is wanting you to know that he has put you there for the purpose of blessing, to release blessing. So God is calling us to himself today, to humble ourselves and to seek his favor. There's one more thing about the favor of God. We humble ourselves to acknowledge our need for a Savior, that we need the grace of God to be saved from our sins, that no amount of good works can ever be enough to receive the approval of God. It is only the provision of God through Jesus Christ, who showed us his favor. God has a favor for you today. If you have never come to know God through Jesus Christ, he's extending his favor to you today through the good news about what Jesus has done for you, that he came to die for your sins and was raised to life for you so that you could have a relationship with God. And if you have never come to Christ, today is the day of God's favor for you, that he would like to set on you the forgiveness of your sins, and he would like to set on you a new life. And if you would like that, all that it requires is you to humble yourself, to acknowledge your need for him, and to turn to him in trust, in faith. And so if you're today and you have never received Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to express your desire to do that by lifting up your hand and saying, yes, I want that favor of God in my life. I want to receive the blessing of the forgiveness of my sins and a new life. Anyone here would like to say, yes, that's me today. I would like that favor in my life. You could just lift up your hand. Yes, very good. Yes, very good. Yes, God is pleased with your heart. Anyone else? But I just thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of these two that raised their hands. I thank you, Lord, that they were not afraid, that they overcame their fears and they said yes to you and to your invitation. And I pray that you would pour out grace to them today, that they would know that you are the true and living God who revealed yourself in Jesus. And Lord, that they would come to your kingdom today. Lord, I just pray for the rest of us, Lord, that you would show us how to respond today and how we can be like Esther. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond now in worship, thanksgiving to God. And we're going to respond, too, to recognize that one of the ways we humble ourselves is when God convicts us of our sin, when we see the course that we're on that is not fully God's way, that we turn back to God's way. And one of the ways of doing that is coming forward and praying. You can pray with others. You can pray just before the Lord yourself. You can pray where you're at. But there's something about moving and being in a humble posture to kneel before the Lord that helps us to express what's in our heart and to receive the grace of God. So that's why I encourage people to come and pray. You may have another need. You may be one of those people that just is purposeless. You're just confused and you're just wondering, why is it taking so long? Maybe God would want you to come for prayer today. I just want you to respond. And I would also, those friends that raised their hands, I would like to pray with you today. And if you could come up front, I'd like to ask at least one or two of the prayer people to be with me today. And let's go ahead and stand. And let's have the prayer ministry team on the sides. And those of you who want prayer, why don't you come?